The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. It is still, as we record this, Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 25th. You are probably listening on Friday, November 26th, as you head, or maybe don't head somewhere, after Thanksgiving, away from your relatives. Hope you had a healthy, happy, safe holiday. Joining me from their multiple chambers of Ryan Wilson and John Breach. Wilson is in his own home. That's why he's feeling a little peacocky. He ain't got to go anywhere else. He can go upstairs, drink a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Can't go upstairs.
He's quarantining. I don't think he's feeling peacocky.
Oh, that's right. You haven't left your basement in 2 weeks. Oh, my God.
He's literally been sitting there since our last week podcast on Sunday. He has not moved. He sits in the chair waiting.
That's that would explain Wilson's message in Slack where he said, like, can we do this early?
Got nothing else to do.
Sleep in the chair I'm podcasting in. Breach is in some kind of very, I don't know if I've ever seen a room that shape.
It's a square room with a wide angle camera that you're looking through.
It's a guest room slash office in my sister and brother-in-law's house. This is where my brother hangs. He's got a whole setup here that is literally better than my setup at home. His technology is better than the technology I own. I am in Cincinnati because they don't celebrate Thanksgiving in the Central Time Zone. So I had to come to the Eastern Time Zone. That's why I'm here.
I am currently, it's a dream of mine to podcast from my mother's basement. And here I am. Podcasting from my so Paul. By the way, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. If you want to watch, hang out, chat with us, you can do that after every primetime game. Of course, the three Thanksgiving games. A plastic cup, please, son. We got a big old.
That was a full glass.
Well, I can't go back upstairs. I can walk in my office. I can go get more booze. I can't go anywhere from here. I'm in my dad's office downstairs in the basement of the house I grew up as a young man. There's a bunch of weird animals around here. Did I do a turkey trot? No.
Someone news footage getting chased by a bear. It's probably the only run in Brinson.
Believe me, if I did a turkey trot, you'd hear about it.
Turkey trot Brinson did is where he shoots the turkey with the hunting equipment in his basement and then trots back to his house and cooks it.
Hey, Wilson, I'm not sure if you heard, but Breach actually did a turkey trot today. 3.3 miles in 14 minutes. Unbelievable. It's actually the world record. Unfortunately, everyone who was there died 5 minutes after the race concluded, so there's no proof.
You had me going. The joke's on you because I was going to do one today, and it got canceled because it rained here.
Yeah, joke's on you because if you'd done a turkey trot, we saw the time, we would have a little discussion about the marathon.
Got my official timer right here. I did it in 8 minutes, 3.1 miles.
So two things to promote. One, we are giving away two hats tonight, two Brinson Sucks hats, one for Bob Brinson, one for Will Brinson. If you hit the like button and put your handle in the chat, you are eligible to win it. Two, the Pick Six podcast store, which you can access via the QR code to over Ryan Wilson's left shoulder. Just scan it, like turn your camera on your phone, hold that up to your, hold it up and it'll, you can open up a Safari and purchase a Pick Six podcast shirt, a hoodie, which Wilson's wearing, right?
No, I have my CBS Super Bowl. Had it done earlier, my Pick Six podcast.
None of us are wearing, but we're mostly traveling. Wilson, not traveling.
I did not bring mine because I didn't want to leave it here in Cincinnati.
Same. By the way, we got all of us got a tweet from Tim, who won one of those Pick Six mugs you see on the screen right there that Debo has up. And he was enjoying a nice adult beverage during the game on Thanksgiving and let us know about it. So this is real. It can happen to you. Play your cards right.
Well, more importantly, everything in the Pick Six podcast store and the CBS Sports store, 25% off until I believe midnight on Cyber Monday. So go to scan the QR code or go to cbssports.com/store or Google cbssports.com/store and you'll probably get there. Let's recap some Thanksgiving football. We'll start with the Bills and Saints.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh my. Oh my, my, my. Shout out to Tim. I didn't even see that tweet. I was too busy listening to my, they can't hear me, but
Brinson doesn't have internet at his house.
No, I was listening to my wife and brother wouldn't shut up. I'm trying to watch football. Be quiet. God almighty.
Breach, can you imagine living in a world where
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Ironically enough, can you imagine living in a world where Brent's is telling people to shut up?
No, this is not a real world. This is a fake world.
My dad's yelling at my brother, yelling at my wife across from me. I'm like, I'm trying to watch this Bills Saints.
Who is the, I imagine you'll be honest with this, who is the loudest person in your immediate family, the family you grew up in, not including AK, who I can't imagine is louder than you anyway?
Well, me, obviously.
Oh, okay. Well, you're painting a picture that it's not you. So I wanted to make sure you would be truthful about that. All right.
Well, I'm the loudest person, but like during when football's on, I'm trying to watch football.
But like growing up, when you and Charlie were you guys teenagers at the same time? You were, right? You're pretty close.
Charlie is 3 years younger than me. Yes. Thank you for remembering my brother's name.
Yeah. I'm not a narcissist.
I don't know what Breach's kid is named. I know it's something related to Andy Dalton.
A typical weekend, like who's yelling most in the family? You know, 2 days at home from school, who's doing the most yelling on average?
There's a bunch of passive aggressive yelling between me and Charlie mostly.
But not your folks? Did you and the
My dad's pretty robust.
I'm just trying to figure out the math here. All right. So you're the loudest spoken part. Okay.
Brinson's are notoriously short, stout, and loud.
But Charlie's tall.
So you're like Charlie, a little teapot.
Charlie is the exception to the rule.
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. So Brinson is half teapot, half human.
I don't really want to get into the psychological situation of my family. Yeah. I'd rather just die.
He's already lived this once every Thanksgiving dinner, Breach. He doesn't want to relive it again.
And get the psychological situation of Sean Payton being forced to start Trevor Siemian.
I don't think we're doing that game first, are we?
Okay, sorry.
We are actually doing that
game. Yes!
And you know what? You know what, Wilson?
What?
I brought something with me.
I'm just stopping by to say, fire Ryan Wilson.
The music gets me every time.
I'm like, wait, what is? I was like, did I hit the wrong button? Oh no, that's right. These guys are getting Wilson. Bills, the Bills smoked the Saints, man. And I tweeted out like, hashtag free Philip Rivers.
I saw it.
Thank you. Don't you have to do something if you're Sean Payton? They're 5-6 now. They got smoked at home on Thanksgiving. Granted, no receivers really available. I mean, it's like what. Deontay Harris and Traquan Smith.
Are you knocking Little John Humphreys?
Little John Humphrey.
Little Humphrey.
Little Jordan Humphrey.
Little Jordan. I'm Little John.
Breach, would you like to describe what you and your sister did before the podcast?
Well,
this is a short purple story. Drink, Debo. And Little John, the purple drink.
Well, at like 1 o'clock, Little she was John like, Humphreys. She's like, do you have to podcast tonight? I was like, yeah, I have to podcast at like 11:30. She's like, does that mean you're not going to have any wine or anything all day? And I was like, no, we have a few drinks today. It's not a big deal. And so we get to 10:45 tonight and she's going up to go to bed and she comes over to me. And she's like, you don't even look drunk at all. I thought you said you're allowed to drink for this podcast. It's like she totally didn't believe anything. She's like, I'm not buying it. Do a shot of tequila with me right now. And so it happened. So less than 45 minutes ago.
You told your sister, you're like, yeah, I can get as drunk as I want for this podcast.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like, I didn't use those exact words.
I mean, my brother and
I didn't go full Brinson.
Anyway, Little Jordan Humphrey. LIL, as we talked
Little
about,
Jordan.
Like, we talked about this like 5 days ago, guys. Wilson, he has no middle name. It's Little Jordan Humphrey.
As Wilson said, it's on his credit card. It says Little Jordan.
They don't have very good receivers on the Saints. Alvin Kamara out, Mark Ingram out, Tony Jones Jr. in as the primary running back.
Don't have very good quarterback on the roster either.
I mean, Trevor Siemian's doing the best he can with what he's got out there, I guess.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
Trevor Siemian. It's just, I mean, the Bills
defense. Dude, he was missing wide open guys on like easy throws. Yeah. Even Drew Brees is like, yeah, you got to sort of make that
your
throw.
Team, Philip Rivers, you should be backing Wilson up. The Saints were 5-2 when Jameis Winston got hurt, and they lost 4 in a row with Trevor. So, like, if they have Philip Rivers in for those 4 games, I think they win at least one of them, just one of them. And if they had one of them, they're 6-5.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that. The idea that they win a lot more games with Rivers, but I'm saying I don't think
they not a lot.
I don't say they don't win. I don't think they win tonight with Rivers.
Yeah,
they had nobody out there. They were like decimated by injuries.
It's a weird sort of flex to support Trevor Siemian. He looked terrible tonight.
But I don't think he's good. I just think they had no receivers.
You're saying don't blame him because he had no help.
I mean, their offensive line's decimated by injury, and they're playing one of the best teams in football. Like, you're not going to win that game. The Bills at my Wilson, did you have the Saints plus 7?
No, of course not.
I've been waiting for this. Brinson was the only person who went 3-0 against the spread today. I need to get out before he did, because then he would just talk about it for an hour.
Well, I mean, he's still 40 games behind me.
Look at that smile. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the Brinson crap eating grin.
Yeah. Hey, well, I don't think I bragged about it on Thanksgiving.
That's why your brother was yelling at you. He wouldn't shut up about the 3-0 start.
Probably. Siemian was 17-29, 163, a touchdown, an interception. I mean, Jones Jr., 16 carries, 27 yards. Good Lord. This Bills team got gashed by gashed last week by the Colts, obviously. Jonathan Taylor's 5 touchdowns, and they were stout in the run. So were the Saints, though. Devin Singletary led the way, 15 carries, 44 yards. Stephon Diggs, okay game. I thought Josh Allen played really well. One of his interceptions was a tip ball at the line. But, I mean, generally speaking, in that environment, against a team that's well coached, even if they're depleted, I thought Allen played, A-minus, B-plus, A-minus for Josh Allen?
Yeah, 2 picks. I mean, another team that
one was a pop-up.
Well, the one that it got popped up was the one that Drew Brees noted that he just missed Manny Sanders standing by himself in the middle of the field, or whoever was standing in the middle of the field.
Now, well, to that point, he had Devin Singletary, and this is speaking to someone who had Devin Singletary over receptions 1.5. He was open 44 times underneath. And I do worry a little bit about, you know, the Mahomes thing with the too high shell where they're forcing you to take the underneath stuff. Is Josh Allen patient enough to take it moving forward against good defenses?
Yeah, I think you're being kind on both quarterbacks. I think Josh Allen was fine and a nice bounce back game from last week and all that. And they played a team offensively that wasn't going to give them much trouble. So even those mistakes that he made with the interceptions were not going to be an issue, but you would like him, I think, if you're the Bills, to be playing more consistently, less like 2019 and more like 2020. That's all.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that he only threw 5 incompletions, and 2 of those were the interceptions. And so, like, I do agree with Brinson. For the most part, he looked good, but those 2 interceptions were so bad, especially the one that Bradley Roby, that, you know, you can't go out and give him an A because they're just 2 bad decisions. When you're playing a game against a team that you're absolutely supposed to beat, you know, you can't throw back-to-back interceptions on back-to-back possessions, which is basically what he did in the second quarter. And I think it was
his first red zone interception this season, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you're up 10-0 against a team that has no chance, and you're keeping them in the game. I mean, nobody thought Saints were going to win at halftime, but I'm sure Sean Payton went in there and like, guys, we took their best shot. We're only down 10-0. We can still win this. It's a 2-score game. We're right there. And the Bills should have been up 28-0 at halftime.
I mean, that game wasn't close ever.
Yeah, not at all.
No, there was no chance. None whatsoever. The game wasn't close to kickoff because you knew how the game was going to end.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like I think it was 4.5. The Bills minus 4.5 most of the week. And then the injury report started coming in for the Saints. And it was like, all right, like this is, the Saints have to summon an otherworldly effort to win this game. And honestly, you saw that from Sean Payton too. They went for a couple early fourth downs, had a fake punt, nothing went their way, and the Bills were just a better team.
Yeah, the first fourth down or 4th-and-1, they TJ lost 2 yards. The fake punt.
Well, on that play, that was the one where it looked like some of the offensive linemen thought they were going to do a hard count and not snap it and end up punting. And even Trevor Siemian was shocked the ball got snapped to him. He's like, what do I do? And he just handed it off, and it got blown up because nobody on the Saints offense was on the same page for that play, which is not what you want when you're running a fourth down play.
And the fake punt, the punter didn't understand that there's no such thing as pass interference. So he threw a never in history ball, and there was no way anybody was catching that. I suppose
he must have watched the Cowboys game. He's like, I'm going to get a PI call if I just throw it up real high.
Yeah, he thought Anthony Brown was out there, I guess.
So very quickly on the future of both of these teams, the Saints, I mean, and I'm not going to dunk on Wilson because he was the guy saying there's no
doubt. Hey, look at it, look who's into, who entered the chat here, Brinson.
Oh, my gosh.
Sean Wagner McFun Facts leaves a little comment, says, boy, I'm happy not to work on Thanksgiving. Sean, you haven't had to work a day in your life because your dad's been bankrolling for 27 years.
And Sean Winner showed up.
Up high, down hard.
God.
If Sean was here, we would have led with the Bears game and spent 3 hours talking about how Andy Dalton is a future MVP. But we're not talking about that game right now.
This clown's loser team barely beats the Lions on the road on Thanksgiving with Jared Goff starting and Andy Dalton starting. And by the way, that win saves Matt Nagy's job, saves Ryan Pace's job. So, like, he's basically in hell for the next 20 years while he's grinding on contract law, trying to figure out what he really wants to do. He's like, maybe I should go back to sports blog. Maybe I should go back to sports blogging. And he finally goes back after he spends 50 grand or what, 100 grand on a law degree. And
oh God, he's just
the Bears still suck.
So I think,
up high, down hard.
I think honestly, Sean is probably the big winner on Thanksgiving. His team won. Doesn't matter. It counts. He's trolling us. He's got you fired up, and he's been chugging Brussels sprouts nonstop.
Oh, I'm glad he wrote about the Brussels sprouts because I have it's not a great Brussels sprout story. It's below average, but I tell it anyway because it only takes 30 seconds.
So, Andy Dalton Brussels sprouts story.
Do you remember the argument we had with Sean last year about whether or not Brussels sprouts was a Thanksgiving food? I voted no. I have never had Brussels sprouts on Thanksgiving. I show up to Thanksgiving dinner today, and you know it was on the table.
What?
Freaking Brussels sprouts.
How were they?
And I almost called Sean to apologize. I guess someone else thinks Brussels sprouts is Thanksgiving dinner. It is not, and I didn't eat them. And I even sat at the kids' table because I want to be as far away from Brussels sprouts as possible.
So just to be clear, Breach, you didn't – because, I mean, the only acceptable thing to do, given our previous history with Sean, with Bleep Magoo and Brussels sprouts, the only thing that would be acceptable would be to take the Brussels sprouts, say, whose are these? And then throw the casserole dish in that person's face. And you just...
Or just dump all the Brussels sprouts in the trash.
Yeah. Okay, I guess you could be nice and do that.
I mean, I thought you were going to try them and say they were fantastic, but nope, you just sat at the kids' table.
Or you like, you eat one, you're like, these Brussels sprouts suck. And just bomb Brussels sprouts at Matilda.
With a spoon, like... Choo!
Are you... Breach, whose chair are you in? Because it looks like a gamer chair.
Yeah, it's Pete. Yeah. Pete Blackburn's chair. They took it from his house. And
is your brother-in-law like Wilson, a gamer?
Since Pete and I are the same height, only chair that fits us both.
Wilson, have you known, Breach has there's a podcasting microphone, like, arm.
No, yeah, this setup is much better than Breach's. He has lighting around. He has the uplight on the floor behind him. Yeah, we went through all this while you were trying to figure out.
What does the person who does stuff in that chair do for a living?
My brother uses it for school and gaming.
School.
Hey, he's in college.
In school.
My younger brother. And so everything in here apparently he spends all his money on equipment because this is all better than anything I have.
He guffawed and breached his face.
I'm take this whole setup and just pack it in my car, take it back to Nashville. And this is what I'm going to have, the gamer chair. Everything here is going to be Nashville. I'm not going to tell him I'm going to take it all, but I'm going to take it all.
Yeah, Breach asked his brother if his internet was good. And he says, trust me, my internet's way better than yours. I play video games. And it is. I mean, Breach is, I mean, you don't want to see Breach in crystal clear HD or 8K, but no. You are.
Is there a projector screen in the back there?
Maybe.
Is there?
I'm not going to give you any tips about this house.
It looks like a movie projector screen.
Oh, way in the back? No, I think it's a mirror.
How long is that room?
I mean, it's long.
Someone in the comments said it's like 4 feet wide. There it is, by 16 miles.
Yes. Thank you, Zach Engel. I've been looking at it all night.
It's one of those rooms.
It is 60 miles deep. I've never actually made it to the end of it, except this is where I trained for the marathon. I went up and back, and that was 32 miles.
You know, like when you hold the mirror
really
up to the...
He doesn't want to talk about his brother's room when he brings up the marathon.
You know, like when you hold a mirror up to a mirror? That's that room.
And you get this. Yeah.
It's infinite. The Breach Infinity room.
No, it Breach is podcasting from inception. Is what's happening.
Right. That's how he disorients his victims before he sends them on their final journey.
Okay, you guys so very quickly before we move on to the next game.
By the way, I got a Saints fun fact before we move on.
Okay, very quickly, we won't move on. Go ahead.
The Saints finished with 190 total yards in this game. The second time this season they finished under 200. While Drew Brees was there from 2006 to 2020, they only finished under 200 twice. So they have matched this season what they did in 15 years with Drew Brees. That's not ideal.
That's not ideal.
Under 190 yards. Either way,
I'm going to point out very quickly, the Saints appear to be, Wilson was like pounding the table on this, but we were all in agreement, a lock for the sixth seed in the NFC like three weeks ago.
Yeah, I got to revise that.
Wilson, we'll see they are in the NFC right now without looking.
I've already looked.
Yeah. 10.
Oh my God. And look who's in seventh. The team that I said had no chance whatsoever has creeped into seventh for the time being. And who's right behind him?
Oh man. San Francisco, Philly wild cards would be a little fun time for me and Debo. The Saints are in big trouble and they need to.
They're not making the playoffs.
It's too late.
But it's not too late.
You can't bring Philip Rivers in and start him next week anyway.
We wrote them off on Sunday though. We agreed Vikings 49ers. Rams were in the fifth.
I think that New Orleans is in the Carolina section of things.
New Orleans is in the Carolina section.
They haven't won a game. It is November 26th, 25th, and they have not won a game this entire month.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Like, I feel like Philly, even Carolina, Washington, and that's it. Those are the teams that have better chances than the Saints, and the Saints fall down there with Atlanta, Chicago, Giants, Seattle, and Detroit.
You know who they play next?
Who?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Who does? The Saints?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then their season's over, as we just,
I know.
As we just concluded last week.
I'll be taking the Saints against the spread.
You don't even know what the spread's going to be.
Where's the game?
New Orleans.
Care. Oh, the spread's going to be.
Saints win that game.
Spread's going to be 5.5.
Hey, Wilson, how'd you do against the spread this week, today?
2-1.
I knew that was coming up.
Nice. Just curious. Breach, how about you?
2-1.
Yeah, two of them were obvious.
How'd you guys do straight up?
I don't care.
How what?
Probably 2-1 for me.
Me and Breach are tied for first place in the straight up, and
I caught you.
No one gives a crap about the straight up. All right, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we won't discuss Andy Dalton. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because we're going to discuss the Raiders and the Cowboys. I would say thrilling overtime win for the Raiders, 36-33. Derek Carr had some pumped up moments in this game. That run he did where he's like, he like did the Squeak Scolari hump dance thing. It's too much. Mm.
I was a 3rd and 11. He had like his longest run in five years.
It was a big play. But he like,
I think that he play held the to ball me out
for the, again, and then like dropped it, and then like it's just too many dances. You know,
that play reiterates to me that NFL quarterbacks, no matter how goofy you might think they are incredibly athletic. Like he's winning a foot race against
Ivan McGuff.
Well, yeah, and you. But I mean, I bet he's top like 75th percentile fastest players in the NFL. I think
Derek Carr?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's not as fast as the actual car, Ryan. That's not how that works.
But the, but the question becomes, are running backs and wide receivers? Yeah, I think, well, maybe 75th is pretty high. Yeah, top 60th percentile, because I'm not counting defense backs and safeties in the linebacker. It's close. He's athletic is the point. I was impressed.
He's a very good runner. In fact, you could even argue that John Gruden and the coaching staff before him have made a mistake not using him as a runner. Like,
they have Marcus Mariota for that.
Yeah, they got him killed in week one.
He managed to score a touchdown every week, though.
So Carr went 24-39 for 373 and a touchdown. Mariota had a rushing touchdown. Carr ran twice for 21 yards. Josh Jacobs 22 carries for 87 yards and a touch. Hunter Renfro, I cannot believe my cousin Hunter Renfro screwed me. I bet Darnell Mooney to have the most receiving yards on Thanksgiving at 7-1, and he had 123 yards. And somehow Renfro, his bald ass, sneaks in with a 134. Are you kidding me? DeSean Jackson. Hello, my friend. Best ball teams are alive. He had that first touchdown, three catches, 102 yards, and obviously that score. Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson both went over 100 yards. What do we assign the blame for this Cowboys loss to? Was it the
28 penalties is one thing. Anthony Brown is the other. Four PIs after having zero penalties all season. The defense couldn't stop the Raiders, and I give the Raiders credit. I mean, last week, Derek Carr said he was angry and it sucked. He couldn't believe how poorly they played when they lost to that 20 team.
Penalties.
Who did they lose to last week?
What was the name?
Freaking Hockley. Are you kidding me?
The team they lost to by 19?
In the last 2 minutes. But fair enough. We'll get that sorted out on Sunday at 1 p.m. Breach. But the Raiders played a lot better, clearly. And I think they lost. They missed CeeDee Lamb. They missed Amari Cooper, and those were concerns. But you can make up all the excuses you want if you're losing football games. The number one seed, as Tony Romo sort of alluded to, that's off the table. That's a wrap. So you can sleep on that one. Now it's just a matter of figuring out getting everyone healthy and figuring out how to win these football games, and maybe next week's matchup with the Saints helps with that. But I got a lot of questions about the Cowboys. A lot more than I do about the Bills, a team that needed to win that game, and they did.
Here's what I'll say is that, remember I spent some time saying this, I think on Sunday, that the Cowboys will, for whatever reason, struggle against AFC teams. So I'm not like completely concerned about them yet, because now they only have NFC teams left on their schedule. That's what they need. But the other part of this is, and I'm sure this is what all the Cowboys fans in the world are thinking, is that the penalties were just crazy.
Nonsense. Like Prisco kills me for saying that like teams get up for revenge games. You're like, do you think the Cowboys woke up or like, ah, crap, it's an AFC week? Like,
no, it's just a team you're only playing once every 4 years. You don't scout them that often. You don't look at them that often. And so you're not familiar with them. You're not familiar with their personnel. There's a lot of reasons why. I mean, the Chiefs, look at the Chiefs record. They're 5-0 against NFC teams and 2-4 against AFC teams. So maybe teams can't plan for Patrick Mahomes on such short.
I don't get that point.
Well, I'm saying that it's tough for an NFC team to plan for Patrick Mahomes that quickly. Lamar Jackson's 13-0 against NFC teams, because it's tough to plan for that when you don't ever have to think about it, because you only play the Ravens once every 4 years. So there's just it's not anything you ever have to think about when you're playing these teams. And for whatever reason, the Cowboys struggle in the situation. But that being said, the penalties are crazy. Ryan kind of alluded to them. We're talking about 276 combined penalty yards. Only the third time since 2005 there's been at least that many penalty yards in a game. You know, a couple of them were ticky-tacky, but the bottom line is the Cowboys gave up over 500 yards to the Raiders. If you are giving up over 500 yards, you're not winning anyway. So this felt like if the refs had decided, hey, we're not going to call any penalties in this game, the Raiders just felt like the better team on Thursday.
Yep.
That is what I feel.
I had muted myself. Sorry. Now, granted, I'm holding this ridiculous microphone down in my mother's basement. The Cowboys have lost 3 of 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, all the AFC teams, which is definitely, is definitely, you know, not, like, correlation related. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger issue I have is with the way that the newfangled Raiders offense carved up the Cowboys defense. Like, they had no answers for Derek Carr, really.
I mean, Micah Parsons had a lot of answers, but he was sort of the only one.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that Dan Quinn's defense had some good moments, but by and large, I mean, the Raiders came out and were just like, I mean, again, carving is a very Thanksgiving friendly word, but they were just, I mean, DeSean Jackson's getting deep on this team. They didn't have Darren Waller for what, 75% of this game, they still won.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, the guy should be in a wheelchair because he's so old, and he's coming out there and burning the Cowboys secondary. That was the biggest surprise of the game. You talk about the biggest difference. I think maybe the Cowboys secondary was caught off guard by how fast DeSean Jackson was or how good he is, because he fits in this Raiders offense so perfectly. You look at the first drive, 56-yard catch by DeSean. The Raiders' second touchdown drive happened because DeSean Jackson had a 30-yard pass interference called because the Cowboys interfered him. You look later in the second half, a 17-yard pass interference that happened against DeSean Jackson. And then when Daniel Carlson hit that 56-yarder near the end of regulation, that was set up by a DeSean Jackson 30-yard catch. So he just played such a huge role in this game that it was crazy to see all the huge plays and the penalties he drew.
You know who played a bigger role and why the Cowboys lost? And it's a lot easier explanation. Greg Zuerlein honked an extra point.
That's true.
Not great. The DeSean Jackson thing is kind of interesting just from a, you know, we saw the Raiders really struggle after the Henry Ruggs loss kind of set in. If DeSean Jackson can fill that role or be 80%, it's the deep threat that Derek Carr goes down the field to, you know, the guy who opens things up for Waller, for Bryan Edwards, et cetera, then, I mean, that changes things for the Raiders offense. I don't think they're still 6-5.
They're half game out of the seventh spot. They're doing fine. Behind the Steelers,
Wilson, I don't want Breach's answer. Who would you take, Bengals or Raiders?
They just played on Sunday. What are you talking about?
You're supposed to mute
4 days ago. Okay,
I didn't want Breach's answer. What I meant was shut up.
I didn't give you my answer.
I would take
me your tequila fueled answer. I meant be
quiet. I would take the Bengals. I think, you know, we've talked about it. Joe Burrow needs to quit making stupid mistakes, but that's a better football team. Just because you don't know which Raider team is going to show up on any given Thursday or Sunday.
Why do the Cowboys play Zeke Elliott over Tony Pollard?
They pay him more money.
Man, Tony Pollard is an explosive. Like,
had a kick return. He had more rushing.
100-yard kick return.
Third longest touchdown play in Thanksgiving history in the NFL. Not counting my backhand.
32 yards. He outrushed Zeke, who was banged up. Zeke had 9 carries, 25 yards. And also, that touchdown run they gave to Zeke from the 1 yard line after Tony Pollard was called, like, reviewed short. They're like, let's put Zeke in. It's like, that's so insulting. Like, Tony Pollard got you there. Give the, like, throw the guy a bone, man. He feels like, was it Michael Turner with San Diego behind LT? But then he left and had monster seasons in Atlanta.
Yeah, Michael Bernard Turner, the guy
Northern Illinois.
Prisco had him number 5 on his top 100 list 1 year, and the next year he was out of the league.
True story. Maybe 3.
Partially true, but yeah, close enough.
And the perplexing thing about the Cowboys is that in that Chiefs game, it's like, their offense didn't click. Their defense did a great job of shutting down the Chiefs. This game, the offense puts up 33 points. They lose because the defense can't stop the Raiders. And so there's a new issue every week that wasn't the issue last week. And so it's hard to put your finger on what their biggest problem is.
Debo, what's your confidence level or what's your optimism level on
Debo? Did you order an NFC East champion hat after this loss?
I think I did that after like week 10, that Lions win.
I mean, you're definitely thinking about it, right?
I'm thinking about the playoffs. I think it might be a little too late to think about the division, but then again, you know, the Cowboys, I know they still have to play the Cardinals. Their schedule is much more difficult. Week 18 could be a lot of fun.
I might as well just flex that one right now, because that's going to be the for the NFC East.
This is very frustrating to have a whole new set of equipment while I'm trying to.
And once again, the Eagles have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL. The Cowboys have the 17th most difficult schedule.
So the Cowboys coming up have.
I mean, if Washington is a little feisty, the Saints are not looking feisty at all.
I would not want to be the Cowboys going to New Orleans to play a desperate Saints team.
What? I mean, the Cowboys are desperate.
Yeah, come on, stop it.
What are you talking about? The Cowboys are desperate. What are you?
They've lost 3 or 4 games. They're desperate.
They're in first place in the division.
The Saints were desperate tonight, and they lost by 25 points.
If the Saints lose to the Cowboys, their season is over.
Their season is over. What are you talking about?
It's already over. If they don't sign Phillip Rivers, it's over, Brinson.
What are you guys? What are you talking about?
The Saints season's over. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, the Saints season is over.
There's a path to 6 wins.
You're making some weird. I mean, you talk about Breach.
You're going to die on the Saints.
Saints season is over. It's nuts.
Oh my gosh! How much did you bet on the Saints making the playoffs?
You just said that the Cowboys aren't up against the wall. As Breach noted, they've lost 3 of 4.
The Cowboys are up against the wall. What are you talking about? They're 7-4 and in first place in the division. And if their quarterback is playing well. They didn't have their 2 top receivers tonight. What do you mean the Cowboys' backs are against the wall? That's crazy talk.
I didn't say their backs were against the wall. You said the Saints are going to be desperate, and I said the Cowboys are going to be desperate because they're equally desperate right now. They've lost 3 out of 4 games.
Yeah,
are the Cowboys desperate next week at the Saints? Thank you. All right, next, moving on.
Devo's Eagles, Kenny.
They're 7-4.
It's a conflict of interest asking him.
What's a word between like desperate? Find like one level down from desperate.
Yeah. I mean, they're a little tense.
Okay, that's fine. But you're acting like that they're the Chiefs all of a sudden who've now turned the corner. They're not. They're in a bad way.
No, wait, now the Chiefs have turned the corner. What the hell is happening on this podcast?
I mean, is that controversial to say? We've discussed that.
I've said it this year. Like they should have probably lost the Chargers game. They should have lost the Patriots game. I mean, Cooper Rush won them the Vikings game, but their record could be a lot different right now.
The Chiefs beat both teams that we're talking about. Chiefs just beat them in the past 2 weeks by double digits.
Yeah. I can't handle you guys throwing the Chiefs in my face after for the last 4 weeks. I've been saying don't panic on the Chiefs. And you guys like insane Brinson thinks that you should buy in on the Chiefs. The Chiefs might be good. Do this. No, like, of course the Chiefs are fine. I've been saying that for a month.
Do me a favor. Have Charlie and AK come down here and have them on the podcast.
Neither one of those a-holes will get my back.
Well, that's what I'm looking for, because I've had enough of you already. We've only been together for 30 minutes.
Well, 15 years, but whatever.
No, I mean tonight.
Yeah. All right, moving on.
Unless there's some other crazy theory you want to support.
Wait, how do we feel about the Raiders next few games?
That's what I was
Washington at home, at Kansas City, and at Cleveland. Let's just look at those three.
I honestly, they could go 2-1 or 0-3. I have no idea what to make of this team. I just don't know.
I really think the DJAC stuff matters, man. Like,
I mean, Henry Ruggs wasn't really doing much until.
Ruggs was stretching the field and forcing defenses to play them deep and honest.
Well, I was going to say before you interrupted me that until this season, and then what's wrong? Why are you making faces? I love it. He took the Breach big talk. No, last year Henry Ruggs wasn't doing anything, and actually, when they drafted Hunter Renfrow, I made the half joke that Renfrow was going to be a better receiver. In terms of receptions, I don't know how that worked out in year one this year.
Wilson, you're right that you don't know which team's going to show up. This is a team that lost to the Bears. They lost to the Giants. Like, and then they turn around and they've beaten the Cowboys. They've beaten the Ravens. They've beaten the Steelers. So, like, you don't know who's going
to
show
up. And Henry Ruggs made a big play in that game, to Brinson's point.
This is my whole Patriots-Chiefs theory. The AFC is wide open. And these teams will lose to anyone and they'll beat anyone. And you have no idea what's going to happen. And the only two teams you can trust are the Chiefs and the Patriots.
Who both have 4 losses.
Sorry. I keep forgetting I have Slack on this computer that I'm using. We have a hat winner to announce.
Ooh. Are you looking at your Palm Pilot there? What do you got there?
It's a freaking iPhone.
Palm Pilot breach. What's your stylus?
Hold on, I got my
don't mispronounce this name. Paper.
Hold on a second. Okay. The first winner. If you hit the like button, that would be fantastic. Breach will probably hit it at some point. Actually, Breach's little Breach has an automated bot in his
in my 16-mile trailer.
This is the biggest gamer I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, Breach is in the back of an 18-wheeler right now going down the road.
He's I'm like, driving to Brinson's house.
Please don't show my house. Good. My dad will come out with
David Hasselhoff in the Kitmobile. Firearms.
Our first winner of a Brinson Sucks hat, or what do we call them? Toboggans, beanies? What do we call them?
Knit caps.
Knit caps.
Interesting.
Tim Schmidt, aka the real T77. Our first winner.
Well done, Tim.
Congrats, Tim.
We're proud of you.
You have, in fact, Tim, you were the only for a few minutes Thanksgiving winner of a Brinson Sucks hat.
The final actually, it's now past midnight, so he's the Black Friday winner.
Yeah, there you go.
Even better. Free stuff on Black Friday. That's how it works.
That's right. That's why we're giving away two. I'm trying to sell this stuff. By the way, go to what's the URL, Devo? CBSSports.com/store. Oh my God, I hate
it. If you were watching on YouTube, you just got some breaking news.
I'm trying to get rid of this stupid
Ryan Wilson is out of COVID-19 quarantine. It officially ended midnight Thursday or 11:59 Thursday to 12 o'clock Friday. It is over. Ryan, how's it feel to be free?
I'm back. I cannot wait. I've had to yell at my 14-year-old from the basement to do things around the house.
So midnight happened and you're scientifically cleared? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's how it works. It's not an exact science. Just don't ask too many questions.
Oh, it's midnight. I'm fine now. Hey, babe.
It's like reverse Cinderella. I mean, it works. Right. I buy it. Ryan's not a pumpkin anymore.
I had to talk to the contact tracer. I didn't just make up the rules. Contact tracer. They call you and you have to spend 30 minutes on the phone with them telling them what you've been doing.
What if the contact tracer was just me and Brinson catfishing you?
Well, here's the thing. They're like, where have you been? I say, literally nowhere. Well, I haven't been anywhere. This is my job. I sit down here all fall and winter. So I haven't been in contact with anyone except for my 10-year-old who also has COVID. So.
Oh, that sucks.
I told you that. Yeah. He's fine. He had a headache and that was it. He's good.
Okay, that's good.
We watched Marvel movies. I told you that.
I had multiple conversations. You know, we saw some relatives today who were like, oh, we hadn't seen you so long. Like, it was so weird. The pandemic, you had to like settle into your hub and never leave. I was like, yeah, it was pretty normal.
It was, as Breach said at the beginning of the pandemic, we were built for this.
Store.cbssports.com. Find the Pick 6 collection. 25% off is live now. Order your hoodies, order your t-shirts, scan that QR code over Wilson's left shoulder. You can get all that great swag. I will tell you, none of us are wearing one right now, but the hoodies are legit incredibly comfortable.
Very thin and very comfortable.
They almost feel like a t-shirt, but a sweatshirt. I can't even describe it. It's just heaven.
You want to snuggle up with it.
By the way, I was doing this promo on the Brady Quinn football show when we talked about draft, and Brady guessed all our sizes. He got all the sizes wrong. He thought that I was 6'1" though. So huge win for Wilson.
Wait, didn't we talk about this already? He thought I was a medium.
I told Brinson on the Thanksgiving pick show Sully that he went 0-for-4 with us.
Yeah.
What did he think Breach was? Extra small?
I think
he extra said large. Small did you think I was 6'7"?
I think he said small for Breach, said large small. For Wilson and medium for Debo. So he said
medium for me.
Right.
Yeah. That's a huge win.
Yeah.
What are you wearing a medium for? It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps the sausage in the casing.
I guess you're vain. All right. Let's get to the weekly Dan Campbell disappointment. The Chicago Bears and Matt Nagy, who needed it bad, but not as bad as, the 0-10-1 Detroit Lions. 16-14 Bears beat the Lions in the noon Fox game. I like imagining the Fox executives. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you gave us Andy Dalton first year of golf. Dalton, 24-39. That's the important part, Breach, for 317 yards.
Back in the MVP race.
Don't emphasize that, Breach. One touchdown, one interception. Jared Goff, 21-25, 171, two touchdowns, no picks. Josh Reynolds, the leading receiver, he and TJ Hockenson both caught a touchdown. The thing that stuck out for me from this game, and like, to be perfectly honest, I was traveling a little bit during this, the early part of this game, and then talking to family, watched the end of it. My God, what? How do you call back-to-back timeouts, Dan Campbell? You're trying to save yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
In Dan Campbell's defense, I remember when Joe Gibbs made his second trip around Washington as a head coach. He did that once when I lived in D.C., and I was going, oh, my God, how could you do that, Joe Gibbs? So if a Hall of Fame coach could do it, maybe Dan Campbell could do it. Dan Campbell's doing the play-calling duties. Anthony Lynn, I'm not sure what he does now. He was the OC. He is still the OC, but he was the play caller for a while. Campbell's calling the plays.
Is Campbell calling offensive plays?
I think so.
Is that what he said? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's the play. I think he's doing the offensive play calling.
Entirely possible. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, no one should pay much attention to the Lions.
Yeah, Dan Campbell took over. I'm double checking here. Yeah, so Anthony Lynn was hired as the OC. We know he was with the San Diego, then LA Chargers. Had some success, but got fired last year because things didn't work out. He's more of he was a running back when he played, so I think he's. That's how he thinks about things, which isn't a bad way to think about things. But DeAndre Swift got hurt. He hurt his shoulder. Jared Goff was already banged up. I think TJ Hockenson caught a touchdown. Josh Reynolds, who actually played pretty well, I think he also caught a touchdown. But they should have won that game. And
yep,
they didn't. So, Breach, what do you want to say about your buddy Andy Dalton?
I was just going to say I don't think the Lions should have won that game. The Bears outgained him 378 to 239. Not even close. Andy Dalton was much, much better than Jared Goff. There was no world where the Lions should have won.
But they were up
game.
With.
What are you talking about?
They were up with the final drive when the Bears got the ball in the final drive.
What are you talking about?
You're in some like foreign propaganda film.
Did you watch this game?
You've lost your mind.
Were you drinking bleach? The Bears were winning the entire game until the Lions scored with a minute 46 left. That's
so if
it.
If they stopped them, the then Bears they win, right?
And they didn't because they're the Lions. The Bears dominated this game. They were ahead the whole time.
Did you watch this game, or you're busy like playing Minecraft with your brother in this little square?
Minecraft is fun. Don't make fun of it.
Minecraft's great. In this square little room that he has downstairs, the Bears didn't have their first lead until 4 minutes left in the second quarter. What are you talking about?
And then they led the entire third quarter and most of the fourth quarter, or most of the third quarter. The Bears dominated this game. Well, not on the scoreboard. Not on the scoreboard.
You say most of the third quarter and most of the fourth quarter. What you mean is they didn't lead until 5 seconds left, 1 second left in the fourth quarter. Didn't lead in the fourth quarter for more than 1 second.
We got a comment from YouTube who agrees. Anybody who watched that game, the Bears played much better.
I don't crap out of the Lions.
Breach, I don't dispute that they played better, but the Lions were up by what, two? By one or whatever it was, the last drive with a minute and 44 to go. And by the way, here are the possessions in the second half for the almighty 85 Bears. Miss field goal, punt, punt, and then the field goal to win it with 3 seconds to go. So, I mean, settle down with they were crushing them.
Yeah, you're acting like
this. I didn't say they crushed them. I'm not saying that at all. I just said I felt like the Bears played much better.
There's no world in which the Lions should have won that game. And that is outrageous.
There we go.
And they could have
they could have won, absolutely. Yes.
No, I was going to say they if you squint a little bit and do a little math, they could have won three games in a row. They should have beaten the Steelers. They had some opportunities against the Bears. They lost again. I mean, by the Bengals, they lost again.
We literally
three.
Started this off by making fun of Dan Campbell because they had to call a timeout coming out of a timeout, and then they couldn't even make the stop anyway. There was like
this
they
is
just
Andy Dalton propaganda fest.
But I mean, yes. Andy Dalton played well.
He played fine.
He played. That's fine. He played well enough to win.
His thick, robust. Red
and you know what? The Lions lost DeAndre Swift early in the game, and it was, I'm sure Lions fans were excited because they thought they were going to win. But on that final drive, was there any point where you thought the Lions were going to make a stop?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I thought the Bears might screw it up. I didn't think the Lions would stop them.
There would be a stop. I don't know who would have. Why would have?
They might miss the field goal.
I thought that. I agree with that.
Well, you just said there was no planet in which the Bears weren't winning this game. So which
is it? Well, that is, well, I am saying that that's a different thought, because I thought the Bears would just keep driving and score the touchdown and not kneel down at the 7 yard. Why are you getting that far and not score? Why are you putting in the hands of your kicker who had already missed a few? He fell short from 53 yards earlier in the game, which made no sense. Brinson's making this incredulous face.
Who are you? You're questioning kickers now? What's going on?
No, I'm saying that you're the Chicago Bears. You just drove the ball like 70 yards straight down the Lions' throat. They couldn't stop you at all. Just score the touchdown.
I agree with that. I was like,
why? Like, that's what I'm saying.
As someone who backed the Lions plus three, I wanted them to take knees and could not believe they were actually doing it. It's like, pound the ball in the end zone and just force Jared Goff to try to make something happen. You'll win.
Well, they just ran the timeout. They didn't have to worry about Jared Goff.
I mean, the Bears trusting a chip shot field goal seems very dangerous.
Very dangerous. So, do you guys think Matt Nagy would have been fired if the Lions had won?
Nah.
I don't know.
Bears don't fire coaches midseason.
Yeah, I have no real sense for how that operation works. I just know that it's not in the Justin Fields' best interest to go in the same direction they're going. I'll just leave it at that.
I think Matt Nagy probably gets fired after the year, but they got fired midseason. So the Bears are
4-7.
4-7, but you know what the record is with Andy Dalton? 2-1.
The Bears are not out of the playoff race.
There's a path. There's no path for the
Andy
Bears.
Andy Dalton, there is a path.
There's no path with Andy Dalton or anyone else. Justin Fields at 100%. This team making the playoffs.
As Andy Dalton's number one fan, I do not think they have any shot at the playoffs.
Wow. Better shot, the Saints or the Bears, Breach?
Have you seen the Bears' schedule? Their next two games are against the Cardinals and Packers.
They do own Minnesota.
Let's give them both those Minnesota games. Then
Seattle against New York at home. Split
New York who?
That's three more wins. That gets them to 7-10.
Like it matters, you're right. They could be both New York teams. They're still winning that game.
Yeah, you'd have to beat Arizona and Green Bay. You need Colt McCoy and Jordan Love, basically.
I mean, Colt McCoy is one of East to win one, I believe.
No, don't forget you've got the all important PR push of we don't want to give away a top 10 pick that we paid to get our quarterback for the Bears. Like, you want your pick to be in the bottom. I mean, the pick you're giving to the Giants, you want to be.
No, I get it, but you got to win the games, and they're struggling to do that.
One of them is against the Giants.
All right. Well, I don't know which. I guess the Bears are a better team, but
I mean, this we're at 50 minutes, so I don't want to extend this. But
all right, Lions, do they get their first win anytime soon?
What's the remainder?
Do they win any games?
What we got left?
We have Vikings.
They have the Falcons left for sure.
Vikings at Denver, Arizona at home, at Atlanta, at Seattle, Green Bay at home.
I think that Seattle, the Atlanta-Seattle stretch there.
That's both on the road.
Both on the road. That's unfortunate. Maybe they can petition to have it in. None of that matters in Detroit.
Man,
I think those are two best teams.
This is so hard for Dan Campbell.
They're going to win.
The last three weeks, their games have been decided by a total of 5 points.
I think they steal one.
Against one of the good teams? The Broncos in Denver?
I don't know if Denver's good or Minnesota's good. Also, this is the second time I played Minnesota, and Minnesota needed a miracle to beat them.
Just think about it. They could be 3-7, the same record as the Bears had they won today. And we'd be saying, Dan Campbell, coach of the year, like the last three games had they won those games. We'd be coach of the year. So that's how razor thin this margin is.
Also, they got 10 days to prepare for the Vikings, right?
Yes. And the Vikings, who knows? You never know which Vikings seems to
Vikings will. Vikings will. Do anything. They'll poop their pants or almost poop their pants and stop them. I mean, every game for the Vikings comes down to the last play.
Yeah,
that's what you want, that random variance with the Lions.
Yeah,
could the Packers sit everybody in week 18?
Oh, no, they can't, because it'll be Arizona, Green Bay, even Tampa Bay might be back in the mix by then. You can't. I don't think you'll be able to sit people this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're a game behind Arizona right now.
Win a game. God, this is terrible.
Well, they've had 11 shots so far, and the best they could do is tie that.
Scroll up and show us that.
Super Bowl Steelers scene.
This is oh, my God. This is
I almost beat the Eagles.
This is so painful.
I think I bet the Lions to cover that game.
Oh,
Man, the first game they scored 33 points. I don't even remember that.
They were showing 41-17 with 2 minutes left. That's where
it was garbage.
Okay. They had the ball with like 30 seconds left for the chance to tie.
Gotcha.
They lost on the 66-yard field goal against the Ravens. The Packers game where they lost 35-17, they were winning at halftime 17-14. The Vikings game, which the Vikings dominated, and then the Bears scored on a miracle drive in the end. And then Kirk Cousins led down for a field goal. Probably should have won that game. The tie against the Steelers. I mean,
It's brutal.
It is brutal.
But I mean, like, I will say, I think there's a chance that Dan Campbell's a good coach.
And yeah,
Campbell. Roster is miserable, and he's keeping them in these games against teams they have no business like playing against.
And if he's taken away Anthony Lynn's play calling duties, I would imagine Anthony Lynn will not be around. And one of the other things that happens when these coaching staffs get put together, he's probably not got the guys that he wants there. You're sort of sifting through, I don't want to call them leftovers, but not your first choices. And maybe that's something that'll change as, you know, coaching staffs start reshuffling after the season.
You're not calling the number one candidate to be like, hey man, Lyon's coaching job. OC is
open. Well, not even that. Like those jobs may already be like the person that you want may already be employed because of the other coaching hires that have already happened.
For sure.
So that, I mean, you know, sometimes it happens. It takes a year or two to get your guy. I think Dan Campbell is a good coach. I don't know if he should be calling plays because I don't think he had previously called plays. I think he was tight ends coach and then interim coach for the Dolphins, right?
I don't know if he called plays in Miami. I don't think he
did. I don't think he did either, but this is relatively new.
New Orleans, obviously.
Yeah, I think this is a relatively new endeavor for him.
I think he just was like, hey, Lynn, buddy. I don't need Chargers 2.0. All right, we're going to give another way. Give away another hat. It's 12:30 on Thanksgiving night. Leave me alone. One of our favorites. Dab Colorado, the winner of the second hat.
Breach dabbed.
For Dab Colorado. And my sister's visiting from Colorado.
There's like a World of Warcraft game going on behind Breach right now. Look how professional those headphones are. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, it says a lot that his brother, who's a gamer, is 15 times more professional than Breach, who spends his time.
Like, look at the professional arm of that gamer that Breach has. This is crazy. It is.
My brother's going to be so upset when all his equipment's gone in the morning because I took him back to Nashville.
This guy we need to rethink our Breach rankings, Wilson. Jim number one and John two.
No, John.
Who's a blank Breach that we're sliding above you?
Yeah, John's not number two.
I'm barely top five.
What's your brother's name?
Joe is the one.
So Joe and then
Joe. Shout out to Joe.
And then your sister, who you took shots with,
Rebecca.
She's a soccer player.
Yeah, she went to soccer player, Northern Arizona.
All American.
Shout out to the Lumberjacks.
She was already ahead of Breach on my rankings when I met her at Breach's
wedding. Right at the wedding. That's right.
Breach
from Colorado is probably ahead of me. There's a
lot.
Debo, I can't see Slack except on my phone because I'm.
Oh god. What do you want to know?
We're good to go. We good to get out of here?
Yeah, we're good. I would like to tease something coming up pretty soon. We have the official trial, I believe. And this is just
34. We're going to call it a 20 for 20.
Great Photoshop.
No, we got to call it like 55. Like, what did Breach say? 55 yards. We got a
55 yards question mark.
We also need to make Breach's neck fatter in that football jersey.
No, that looks about right.
How weird you
I think if Breach were going to be in a movie, it'd be called Punt, Pass, and Murder. If that's something
or Punt, Pass, Fake.
Yeah.
Punt, Pass, and Murder.
I'm lying. Yep.
Breach, what number did you wear? That sounds like
a Danielle Steele novel, Wilson. You've been reading some Danielle Steele in quarantine?
No. Hey, Breach, Debo asked a good question. What number did you wear in college?
Wait, let us guess.
We need to answer quickly.
I was going to say, like, he needed to answer within a millisecond.
No, I was going to say, I'm honestly not sure because I wore two different numbers freshman and sophomore year.
What numbers were they?
I think I was 13 one year.
You wore two numbers?
Well, because the number I wanted was taken, and then that person graduated. And so I think I was 13 my sophomore year, but I got whatever was handed my, I think maybe 18 my freshman year.
I was. I don't know. Like I was Team Breach, but like I remember what number I was. Like well, every single year of youth basketball,
Debo. I didn't pick the number, so like if I had picked my own number, there'd be some emotional tie to it that I would not forget. But like I took what I was given.
I was gonna guess you were.
So let me get it straight. You're lying on the bottom. You're lying on the field. Your whole family, according to the text message.
Who, by the way, I talked to them all day. They're all willing to testify under oath.
They witnessed this.
Are they willing to testify on video?
Yeah, they'll get on video.
A video deposition.
And they'll be able to, from this spot, because they all live in this house.
Bruce is like, you won't believe this. My entire family moved to India this week.
No, they're right behind him in that long hallway. Just turn around. You can see them.
Lying down with knives in their backs.
I was convinced that Breach was going to say he was like number 102 or something. Like that's the number they gave him to be the
double
JV.
Zero, double yeah. 007.
The JV backup punter. Who's
not
just,
remembering what number you are is a giant red flag. Almost as giant a red flag as there was a penalty.
There we go.
So it's not listed on the actual play.
No, that the commenter Joel Beasley makes a great point. Psychopaths have no emotional ties. That's exactly. That's a concern. And when you've lost Debo, you lost everything. Because Debo's like, oh.
I was all Team Breach, and now I'm starting
Debo's
to question myself.
Changing his mind based on the number. How does that? Because then you're implying that I wasn't even on the team. I just don't remember
you
the
very
number.
Well,
I, it's, Breach, I believe I was 18
but
and 13.
We know you're on the team.
No, we don't. The listeners and viewers did a lot of research, and they could not come up with anything from Hanover in 2000, 2004.
And all Breach, do you know how easy it is to send yourself a text and like act like you got it from somebody and be like,
yeah,
like, oh god, remember
I don't regularly do that, Brenton, so I do not know.
Oh, look,
Caleb Campson says as
nice, help him. I've got Caleb on my side.
Unfortunately, this is not a legal court of law. This is court of Brenton, and we don't approve.
Miguel and Pierce leaves the comments. Doesn't everyone remember when Breach won the Heisman?
It's actually back there. It's 15 miles back in my room.
Yeah.
Breach, I'm just saying, like, you had such a pretty good memory about a lot of the events to not know the number.
Oh, I told you, I believe I was 18 and 13, but I wouldn't like testify to that in court because I'm not 100% sure on the number.
Diva, what was your basketball number your first year of basketball?
Our kicker's typically 18.
13.
I have no idea.
And what was your number your last year?
Is it
9?
Hey, Breach. That
took
jersey
half a second to answer, Breach.
Over your shoulder. Is that a Jim Breach jersey?
Yeah,
it is.
A Breach.
It's a 3, right?
Yeah.
It's a giant orange and white.
Kickers typically are single-digit numbers, right?
No,
it can be whatever they want. Like you can 99. Be 1 to 19.
And yeah.
I was just testing him to see if we can.
I know what number rules. You're not going to get me there. For instance, trying to get me to watch. Breach took a tequila shot. I'm going to get him to walk over
I'm
himself.
I'm sitting at a lawyer's table right here, buddy. I'm trying to.
Yeah, Brenton thinks he's Matlock. He's friggin' MacGyver. He's a lawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd love to be MacGyver.
No, MacGyver was a lawyer. I couldn't think of a good, like, who.
Although I will say one other thing about that.
You want to answer the
I'm a fun fact. My brother at Thanksgiving today said, we talked about how a penalty negated the whole thing. He said he thought the guy who caught the touchdown was the person who was flagged for a legal man downfield. And so that would explain why that person doesn't remember, because you cost your team a touchdown. You wouldn't, that's not something you're trying to remember.
Okay.
That was a fun conversation. Thank you.
Meanwhile, the viewers are convinced that you're not telling the truth. So,
I mean, Daniel Cordero's got a great theory.
Breach wasn't Daniel Cordero. His comment is Breach not playing and just getting stoned in the locker room with the janitor. That is probably as close to the truth as we're going to get.
But we're D3. We didn't have a janitor. We had to clean
our own
trash.
You were at Miami, Ohio, you worked with the football team because that's how you came into contact with Sean McVay.
Correct. I was a team manager.
You were the manager.
Not a player.
Yeah. So you probably wore number 13 as the team manager. What are you going to tell us?
Do team managers wear numbers?
You tell me, Breach. You were the team manager.
They do not. They do not.
All right.
I can tell you that for a fact.
Well, you lost Debo. That's all we know. And you've lost all the viewers. I I don't know if anyone supports you anymore. So
can't
you
got
your,
Debo.
Got your family. But I think Ted Manson's family. Ted Manson? No.
Ted Danson.
I don't know if you're saying Ted Danson or Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Who's Ted Manson? I love Ted Manson.
Ted Danson?
Charles Manson's family probably supported him too, was what I was trying to say.
Charles Manson's from Cincinnati. That's and I'm in.
Is he really?
Yeah, it's irony.
All right, Devo says we can wrap. He's heard enough.
Do you want to wrap? Are we doing any after show stuff? Or are we out of here?
We can bounce. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead and put that chat for my wife up. I don't know why she posted that.
So weird.
What? She's been drinking. That explains that one.
I'm using her computer.
I think AK got some beer goggles for
AK took some tequila shots with my sister.
Wow, handsome. I'll take that.
Yeah, that's a cry for help. We're sitting
there. That's one of those say you're a prisoner without actually saying you're a prisoner.
Yeah, she is.
What's funny is that so when Robbie uses his iPad, he's logged in as AK and he writes like just 7-year-old stuff in the chat. So you're like, who is this woman chatting us? Hence this. Anywho, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We're, as always, thankful for all of you viewers. Gosh, I'm thankful for the 15 years I've done with Ryan Wilson, this podcast. And what?
It feels like 15
years. I think over that room, you've got there, Breach. And of course, we've been going on a decade with Breach.
Feels like it. And don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to.
Is this 10?
It's my 10th year.
Oh, this is 10.
No, 10 year anniversary.
All right. Thankful for all you guys. And we're also, of course, thankful for Debo, who does a great job producing the show.
Thanks, Debo.
Thankful for you guys who listen, watch, and absorb this content for whatever reason. See you guys on, I guess we have a pre-recorded show. See you on Friday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.